Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. I remember I have Ram Gold, Ari, and the name of Zechus Ksubis, Daf Mem Test, the fourth parak, Narashini Spatasa. The Zichud Zechus Ksubis program has been generously sponsored as a schus for HaKazachas HaTorah. So the three dots we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara asks regarding a kala that was given over to the husband Shluchim. If she returned to her father's house before reaching her husband, does she revert to her original state of being in his Rishus? Rava said this issue has already been decided by a brisa taught in the Beis Midrash of Rabbi Yishmael, which taught, but the neder of an almano or grusha, anything she prohibited upon herself, shall be binding upon her. Now, what's this coming to teach us? It's obvious that once a woman is an almano or divorced, that her nedarim are her own. Rather, it's to teach that if the girl was handed over to the shluchei abal, the husband's shluchim, and she was widowed or divorced while on the way, once a daughter leaves the father's reshus for any length of time, he can no longer annul her vows. Point number two, the next mission states, a father is not chayiv to provide for his daughter's sustenance while he's still alive. The Gemara says that this implies that he's chayiv in his son's sustenance, and even with regard to his daughter, there's no chiyuv, but it is a mitzvah to provide for her. The Gemara asks who the Tana of the Mishnah is, given that it cannot be any of the three Tanai mentioned in the following brisa, for it was taught, mitzvah lazunas habanus kavakom labanim daski b'tor divi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that it's a mitzvah to provide for one's daughters and kavakomer's sons who are engaged in learning Torah. Rabbi Yudah says it's a mitzvah to sustain one's sons and kavakomer one's daughters mishum zilusa because of the disgrace they'll face if they have to beg for food. Rabbi Yochim Abroka says, Chovel Azonis Abanas Lachem Mises Avian, Ababachai Avian, Eil Ve'il Einon Nizonin. It's a chiv to sustain one's daughters after the father's death, but during the father's lifetime, both sons and daughters are not sustained even as a mitzvah. The Gemara will clarify that, in fact, the Mishnah can be according to any of the three Tanai. And pointing with you, Rabbi Elah said in the name of Reish Lakish, who said it in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina, in Usha, the Chachamim instituted that one should provide support for sons and daughters when they are minors, which Rashi defines is until they grow to saros. It was asked whether the halacha goes according to Rabbi Elah taught, and the Gemara brings incidents to prove that the Amoraim only shamed but did not compel a father to support his young children. When fathers who were not supporting their children came before Rav Chisda, he said to them, turn over a mortar in public and let the father or an announcer stand on top of it and announce, Urva boy b'nei, v'ahu gavra lo boy b'nei. Even a raven wants his children, and that man does not want his children, we see. The Rav Chisda only shamed the father, but did not compel him to support his children. The Gemara asks if the raven really wants its children, for the pasuk states, Hashem gives food, lifnei orev ashayikru'u, to young ravens that call out. Rashi explains that we see that Hashem provides for them because ravens do not sustain their young. The Gemara answers that the pasuk is referring to young ravens that are white, whereas the announcement is referring to older ravens when they turn black. Rashi explains that ravens hate their young when they're white, but love them when they turn black. So once again, the three points are number one. The Gemara asks regarding a kala that was given over to the husband Shluchim, if she returns to her father's house before reaching her husband, does she revert to her original state of being in his Rishos? Rava said this issue has already been decided by a brisa taught in the Beis Midrash of Rabbi Yishmael, which taught, but the neder of an almano or grusha, anything she prohibited upon herself, shall be binding upon her. Now, what's this coming to teach us? It's obvious that once a woman is an almano or divorced, that her nedarim are her own. Rather, it's to teach that if the girl was handed over to the shluchei abal, the husband's shluchim, and she was widowed or divorced while on the way, once a daughter leaves the father's reshus for any length of time, he can no longer annul her vows. Point number two, the next mission states, a father is not chayiv to provide for his daughter's sustenance while he's still alive. The Gemara says that this implies that he's chayiv in his son's sustenance, and even with regard to his daughter, there's no chiyuv, but it is a mitzvah to provide for her. The Gemara asks who the Tana of the Mishnah is, given that it cannot be any of the three Tanai mentioned in the following brisa, for it was taught, mitzvah lazunas habanus kavakom labanim daski b'tor divi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that it's a mitzvah to provide for one's daughters and kavakomer's sons who are engaged in learning Torah. Rav Yehuda says it's a mitzvah to sustain one's sons and kal vachomer one's daughters mishum zirusa because of the disgrace they'll face if they have to beg for food. Rabbi Yochum Broka says chovel azon is a banas lachem misas avien of a bachay avien eil ve'eil einon nizonin. It's a chiyuv to sustain one's daughters after the father's death, but during the father's lifetime, both sons and daughters are not sustained even as a mitzvah. The world will clarify that, in fact, the Mishnah can be according to any of the three Tanai. And pointing with you, Rabbi Elah said in the name of Reish Lakish, who said it? In the name of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina. In Usha, the Chachamim instituted that one should provide support for sons and daughters when they are minors, which Rashi defines is until they grow two sa'aros. It was asked whether the halacha goes according to Rabbi Elah taught, and the Gemara brings incidents to prove that the Amoraim only shamed but did not compel a father to support his young children. When fathers who were not supporting their children came before Rav Chisda, he said to them, turn over a mortar in public and let the father or an announcer stand on top of it and announce, Urva boy bene, vahu gavro boy bene. Even a raven wants his children, and that man does not want his children, we see. The Rav Chisda only shamed the father, but did not compel him to support his children. The Gemara asks if the raven really wants its children, for the pasuk states, Hashem gives food, livnei orev asher yikra'u, to young ravens that call out. Rashi explains that we see that Hashem provides for them because ravens do not sustain their young. The Gemara answers that the pasuk is referring to young ravens that are white, whereas the announcement is referring to older ravens when they turn black. Rashi explains that ravens hate their young when they're white, but love them when they turn black. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Daf Mem test, and our standard sim relates to meat, but we use a butcher to make it more distinct. So here goes. The butcher's daughter, who arrived back at her father's shop when her husband died while she was traveling with the shluchim, was resentful to her father, who only fed her growing up because it was a mitzvah. And that was only after Basin shamed him when she was a minor, calling him worse than a raven. Once again, in slow motion. The butcher's daughter, butcher, that must be Mrandaf Memtes, meat. The butcher's daughter who arrived back at her father's shop when her husband died while she was traveling with the shluchim, which reminds us, we learned that a kala given over to the husband's shluchim, if she returns to her father's house before reaching her husband, she does not revert to original state of being in its reshus. We learned this from the pasuk neder almana or grusha kol asher asu al nafsha yakum aleha. But the neder of an almana or grusha, anything she prohibited upon herself, shall be binding upon her. Now what's this coming to teach? As it's obvious that once a woman is an almana or divorce, that her nedarim are her own. Rather, it's to teach that if the girl was handed over to the shulchei abal and she was widowed or divorced while on the way, once a daughter leaves the father's reshus for any length of time, he can no longer annul her vows. So the butcher's daughter who arrived back at her father's shop when her husband died while she was traveling with the shluchim was resentful to her father who only fed her growing up because it was a mitzvah, which reminds us the next Mishnah states, Av eino chai b'mezonos bito, a father's not chayv to provide for his daughter's sustenance while he's still alive. The Gemara says that this implies that he is chayv in his son's sustenance, and even with regard to his daughter, there's no chiyuv, but it is a mitzvah to provide for her. The Gemara asks who the Tana of the Mishnah is, given that it seemingly cannot be any of the three Tanaim mentioned in a Braisa. So the butcher's daughter who arrived back at her father's shop when her husband died while she was traveling with his shluchim was resentful to her father who only fed her growing up because it was a mitzvah. And that was only after Basin shamed him when she was a minor, calling him worse than a raven. Which reminds us, the Rabbanan only shame fathers who do not want to support the young children. They do not compel them to support them. Rav Chisda would have someone announce on a turned over mortar that such a father was worse than a raven who wants its young, and this man does not want its young. The Gemara clarifies that the announcer is referring to black ravens, for when the ravens are young and white, the parents do not feed them, and they must turn to Hashem. So once again, the butcher's daughter who arrived back at her father's shop when her husband died while she was traveling with the shluchim was resentful to her father who only fed her growing up because it was a mitzvah. And that was only after Basin shamed him when she was a minor, calling him worse than a raven. All right, now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf mem hey. So the simmer daf mem hey is Monopoly. So here goes. The three naras playing execution Monopoly. Monopoly? That must be more in daf mem hey. The three Naras playing execution Monopoly and try not to land on father's house, city gate, or tight neck, which reminds us Shiloh taught a brisa that taught Shosh Midos Benara. There are three types of execution with regard to a Nara who committed adultery as an Arusa, dependent on when the witnesses came to testify against her and how old she was at the time of the conviction. So the three Naras playing execution Monopoly and trying not to land on Father's House, City Gate, or Tight Neck were joined by a defamed Nara who became a Bagheeris who was upset her accuser did not have to pay the Kanas. Which reminds us, the Gemara explains that in the case of a Nar Marasu who was a Nara when she sinned, but a Bagheeris when she was judged, she gets skeel because her adulterous actions caused her punishment. And when she committed adultery, she was an Ara. Whereas in the case of the defamer, Akimus Vasav Garmulo, the curving of his lips, referring to his defamation, caused him to be chayav of punishment, and at the time he spoke, she was already a Bagheeris. Therefore, he cannot be given the punishment for one who defames a Nara. So the three Naras playing execution Monopoly and try not to land on Father's House, City Gate, or Tight Neck were joined by a defamed Nara who became a Bagheeris, who was upset her accuser did not have to pay the Kanas, and who had just come from a town with a majority of idolaters where stoning was done at the entrance. A basin. Which reminds us, it was taught in Braisa, a Nar Marasa that commits adultery, we stone her at the entrance of her father's house. If her father has no house, we stone her at the entrance of the city's gate where she committed the adultery, and in a city with a majority of idolaters, we stone her at the entrance. A basin. Daf Mem Vav. So the Simmer Daf Mem Vav is a cow that goes moo. So here goes. The Rachel going around town on a cow. Cow? That must be on Daf Mem Vav. Moo. The Rachel going around town on a cow telling people that Pony was warned not to commit Motzi Shemra, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Hazar la Motzi Shemra Monalan, from where do we derive the source for the warning of a defamer? Belazar says it's from the Pasuk Oseilech Rachel, you shall not go out as a gossip monger. And Rabbi Nassan says it's from the Pasuk Vinishmar to be called Davara, beware of any evil Davar, referring to a word. The Gemara explains why each one did not hold of the other one's source. So, the Rachel going around town on a cow telling people that Pony was warned not to commit Motzi Shemra, lost control and charged to a spread out clean new sheet that the girl's father was holding, which reminds us, the Gemara Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis brought a machlokas whether the defamer must have had relations with her in order to be punished with Malkus and the fine. The Chachamim hold that he's punished whether he had relations or not, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds he's only punished if he had relations with her. The Gemara asks how the Chachamim will hold that he does not have had to had relations with her, understand various psukim. When it asks how they understand the pasuk Parshua Simla, and they spread out the sheet, it answers Rabbi Avoh said, Parshuma Shasamla. They clarify the accusation that he placed on her, as it was taught in a Braisa that witnesses come from both sides, Uborin Esedavar Kisimul Chadasha, and they clarify the matter like a new sheet. So the Rachel going around town on a cow, telling people that Pony was warned not to commit Motzi Shemra, lost control and charged through a spread out clean new sheet that the girl's father was holding, which he had bought with the Kesef Kedushin he received. Which reminds the next Mishnah opens the Av Zakai Bebito BeKedusha BeKesef. A father is Zoche in his daughter's Kedushin to receive the money. The Gemara asks for the source for this, and after rejecting several answers, returns to its original source from the parsha of a Jewish shivcha who becomes a Nara, where the pasuk states, "V'yatza chinam ein kasef." She shall leave free of charge without payment. From the superfluous phrase "without payment," it can be inferred in kesef adon zeh v'yesh kesef adon acher. There's no payment made to this master, meaning no money is needed to purchase the girl from his rishus, but there is payment made to a different master upon leaving his rishus, and who is this? Her father. Daf Mem Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Mem Zayin is a maze. So here goes. The corn maze property the daughter inherited that her father had no rights to was acquired by her chasim with her parents Ksus and Kalim when she unexpectedly passed away after Erison, after getting lost in the maze. Just as the Rav was preparing the Ksuba and was writing the words, Shere Ksusa Ve'onasa. Once again, it's a motion. The corn maze property maze, that must mean we're on Daf Mem Zayin. The corn maze property the daughter inherited that her father had no rights to, which reminds us, we have a machlokas if a father can consume the produce from his daughter's properties. So, the corn maze property the daughter inherited that her father had no rights to was acquired by her chasim with her parents Ksus and Kalim when she unexpectedly passed away after Erison when she got lost in the maze, which reminds us, we have machlokas whether a chasim has the rights to parents Ksus and Kalim if the kala dies before Nisuin, and the Gemara compares this machlokas to the machlokas whether a kala gets the Tosefes Ksuba when the chasim dies after Erison. So the corn maze property the daughter inherited that her father had no rights to was acquired by her chasim with her parents Ksus and Kalim when she unexpectedly passed away after Erison when she got lost in the maze, just as the Rav was preparing the Ksuba and was writing the words Shera Ksusa Va'onasa, which reminds us we have different opinions regarding the meaning of the terms Shera Ksusa Va'onasa. Daf Mem Ches. So the Simmer Daf Mem Ches is Brainiac. So here goes. The Brainiacs, Brainiacs, that must mean we're on Daf Mem Ches. The brainiacs who got hired to play the flute and to do the lamenting at a wife's burial were so horrible. Which reminds us, we have Malchus if a husband is required to provide flutes and a lamenter at his wife's burial. The Gemara says that the Malchus is in a case where it's the husband's custom to have the flute and a lamenter at a woman's funeral, but it's not her family's custom. The Tanakhama holds, when we say that a woman rises to her husband's status but does not descend to it, this applies in her life, but not after her death. Rav Yehuda holds this principle applies even after her death. So, the brainiacs who got hired to play the flute and to do the lamenting at a wife's burial were so horrible that the woman's father went insane, requiring Beis Din to organize support for his wife and children from his property. Which reminds Rav Chisda said in the name of Mar Ukva, when he went insane, Beis Din goes down to his property and supports and maintains his wife and his sons and daughters, because we assume the father who went crazy would have wanted to support his children. This is different than a father who travels overseas. Since he could have arranged support for his children before departing, but did not, it indicates that he does not want to support them in his absence. Nonetheless, he must support his wife, because that's one of the Tanai Kesuba. So the brainiacs who got hired to play the flute and to do the lamenting at a wife's burial were so horrible that the woman's father went insane, requiring Beis Din to organize support for his wife and children from his property. And her sister died from shock right after she had been handed over to the husband's shluchim, enabling her husband to retain her dowry. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Masa avu shluchei abal hari b'rishus abal. Once the father has handed his daughter over to the husband's agents, she is in her husband's rishus. There's a machlokes regarding what it means that she's in his rishus, and the Brisa refutes every opinion except for Shmuel's, who says it's regarding her Yerusha, that the delivery is only effective for her inheritance. If she dies on the way, her husband retains the dowry. All right, so now it's time to conclude their 10-question pop quiz. Number 1. Which dafni of the machlokes if a husband has to provide flutes and a mekonenes at his wife's funeral? That's on daf Memches. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we have different shitas regarding one's responsibility to feed his daughter? That's on daf Memtes. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we have machlokes if a chasan gets the peros, ksus, and kalim of a kala that died after erison? That's on daf Memzine. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have different sources brought for where there's an ahazara, a warning for motzi shemra? That's on daf Membav. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn if a father goes insane, then Beis Din goes down to his property to provide support for his wife and his children? That's on daf Memches. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we have in Machlokes whether one who defames a Yesoma is punished from paying the fine? That's on daf Memdad. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we have different opinions regarding the meaning of the words Sherek Susa Onasa? That's on daf Memzine. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn the Rabbanim would shame fathers who didn't support their young children? That's on daf Memtes. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn a Na'ara who's a Bulgaris at the time of her conviction gets skila, but her defamer, if found guilty, does not have to pay the fine? That's on daf Memhe. Good. And number 10. Which of the one that once a daughter is given over to her chasen shluchim, if she returns home before reaching her chasen, she does not revert to her father's rishus? That's on daf Memtes. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldham, wishing you a great day and great learning.